The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 27, 1984 at Murari Sevak Farm in Mulberry, Tennessee. The class begins with a lecture from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 7, Verse 10.
All different varieties of Atmaramas.
All different varieties of Atmaramas.
Those who take pleasure in Atma.
Those who take pleasure in Atma.
Or Spirit Self.
Or Spirit Self.
Especially those established.
Especially those established.
On the path of self-realization.
On the path of self-realization.
Though freed from all kinds of material bondage.
Though freed from all kinds of material bondage.
Desire to render unalloyed devotional service.
Desire to render unalloyed devotional service.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
This means that the Lord possesses.
This means that the Lord possesses
transcendental qualities.
Transcendental qualities.
And therefore can attract everyone.
And therefore can attract everyone.
Including liberated souls.
Including liberated souls.
Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this Atma Rama Sloka very vividly before his chief devotee Srila Sanatana Goswami. He points out 11 factors in the sloka, namely 1, Atma Rama, 2, Munaya, 3, Nirgrantha, 4, Api, 5, Cha, 6, Urukrama, 7, Kurvanti, 8, Ahaitukim, 9, Bhaktim, 10, Itam Bhuta Guna, and 11, Hari. According to the Viswa Prakasha Sanskrit dictionary, there are 7 synonyms for the word Atmarama, which are as follows: Brahman, the absolute truth, body, mind, endeavor, endurance, intelligence, and personal habits. The word munaya refers to those who are thoughtful, those who are grave and silent. 3, ascetics. 4, the persistent. 5, mendicants. And 6, sages. And 7, saints. The word nirgrantha conveys these ideas. 1, one who is liberated from nescience. 2, one who has no connection with scriptural injunction. In other words, who is freed from the obligation of the rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures like ethics, Vedas, philosophy, psychology, and metaphysics. In other words, the fools, illiterate urchins, etc., who have no connection with regulated principles. 3, a capitalist. And also 4, one who is penniless. According to the Sabdakosha dictionary, the affix ni is used in the sense of 1, certainty, 2, counting, 3, building, and 4, forbiddance. And the word grantha is used in the sense of wealth, thesis, vocabulary, etc. The word urukrama means, quote, the one whose activities are glorious, unquote. Krama means step. This word urukrama specifically indicates the Lord incarnation as Vamana, who covered the whole universe by immeasurable steps. Lord Vishnu is powerful and his activities are so glorious that he has created the spiritual world by his internal potency and the material world by his external potency. By his all-pervading features, he is everywhere present as the Supreme Truth. And in his personal feature, he is always present in his transcendental abode of Golok Vrindavana, where he displays his transcendental pastimes in all variegatedness. His activities cannot be compared to anyone else's, and therefore the word urukrama is just applicable to him only. According to Sanskrit verbal arrangement. Kurvanti refers to doing things for someone else. Therefore, it means that the Atma Ramas render devotional service unto the Lord, not for personal interest, but for the pleasure of the Lord. Urukrama. Hetu means causal. There are many causes for one's sense satisfaction, and they can be chiefly classified as material enjoyment, mystic powers, and liberation, which are generally desired by progressive persons. As far as material enjoyments are concerned, they are innumerable, and the materialists are eager to increase them more and more because they are under the illusory energy. There is no end to the list of material enjoyments, nor can anyone in the material universe have all of them. As far as mystic powers are concerned, there are 8 in all, such as to become the minutest in form, to become weightless, to have anything one desires, to lord it over the material nature, to control other living beings, to throw earthly globes in outer space, etc. These mystic powers are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. The forms of liberation are 5 in number. Therefore, unalloyed devotion means service to the Lord without desire for the above-mentioned personal benefits. And the powerful personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, can be satisfied by such unalloyed devotees free from all sorts of desires for personal benefit. Unalloyed devotional service of the Lord progresses in different stages. Practice of devotional service in the material field is of 81 different qualities. And above such activities is the transcendental practice of devotional service, which is one and is called sadhana bhakti. When unalloyed practice of sadhana bhakti is matured into transcendental love for the Lord, the transcendental loving service of the Lord begins gradually developing into 9 progressive stages of loving service under the headings of attachment, love, affection, feelings, affinity, adherence, following, ecstasy, and intense feelings of separation. The attachment of an inactive devotee develops up to the stage of transcendental love of God. Attachment of an active servitor develops up to the stage of adherence. And that for a friendly devotee develops up to the stage of following. And the same is also the case for the paternal devotees. Devotees in conjugal love develop ecstasy up to the stage of intense feelings of separation. These are some of the features of unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. These are the different stages of prema. According to Hari Bhakti Surudhaya, the import of the word itang bhuta is complete bliss. Transcendental bliss and the realization of impersonal Brahman becomes comparable to the scanty water contained in a pit made by a cow's hoof. It is nothing compared with the ocean of bliss of the vision of the personality of Godhead. The personal form of the Lord Sri Krishna is so attractive that it comprehends all attraction, all bliss, and all tastes, rasas. These attractions are so strong that no one wants to exchange them for material enjoyment, mystic powers, and liberation. There is no need of logical arguments in support of this statement. But if out of one's own nature one becomes attracted by the qualities of Lord Sri Krishna, we must know for certain that all the qualities of the Lord have nothing to do with mundane qualities. All of them are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. There are innumerable qualities of the Lord, and one is attracted by one quality while another is attracted by another. Great sages such as the 4 bachelor devotees, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda and Sanat Kumara, were attracted by the fragrance of flowers and tulasi leaves anointed with the pulp of sandalwood offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami was already situated in the liberated stage, yet he was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. This proves that the quality of his pastimes has nothing to do with material affinity. Similarly, the young cowherd damsels were attracted by the bodily features of the Lord, and Rukmini was attracted by hearing about the glories of the Lord. Lord Krishna attracts even the mind of the goddess of fortune. He attracts in special cases the minds of all young girls. He attracts the minds of elderly ladies by paternal affection. He attracts the mind of the male in the humors of servitude and friendship. The word Hari conveys various meanings, but the chief import of the word is that he, the Lord, vanquishes everything inauspicious and takes away the mind of the devotee by awarding pure transcendental love. By remembering the Lord in acute distress, one can be free from all varieties of miseries and anxieties. Gradually, the Lord vanquishes all obstacles on the path of devotional service of a pure devotee, and the result of 9 devotional activities, such as hearing, chanting, becomes manifested. By his personal features and transcendental attributes, the Lord attracts all psychological activities of a pure devotee, such as the attractive power of Lord Krishna. The attraction is so powerful that a pure devotee never hankers for any one of the 4 principles of religion. These are the attractive features of the transcendental attributes of the Lord. And adding to this the words api and cha, one can increase the imports unlimitedly. According to Sanskrit grammar, there are 7 synonyms for the word api. So by interpreting each and every word of this sloka, one can see unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna that attract the mind of a pure devotee. Thus ended purport of text 10, chapter 7, canto 1 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. By His Divine Grace, Srila Abhayacharya Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Suta uvacha atmaramas chamunayo nirgandha apyurukrame kurvantya hai tukhin bhaktin itang bhuta guno hari. So this verse has been preached on by Lord Chaitanya on different occasions. It's a very important verse because of how Lord Chaitanya has explained it in such detail. Actually, the verse is in the Bhagavatam. You can take every verse and take it word by word, and you can get so many different purports from each verse. Here, if you take the 11 factors in the sloka, and then each factor has somewhere between 4 to 7 different meanings, then how many different combinations can you get of those? Each one 7, this 6 the same, this one chain, this 6 again chain, you know, like how many total combinations? That's how many basic understandings of the verse could be derived. Lord Chaitanya, he gave 64 meanings just like that, but actually practically speaking you get hundreds of thousands of meanings, unlimited meanings. Because then if you take each of the synonyms, then those synonyms you could also find synonyms for them and further break it down. The point is that someone who is completely material, of course there's so many points, but one of the basic points is that someone who's completely materially, spiritually satisfied, still he's attracted by the transcendental qualities of the Lord and engages in his pure, unalloyed devotional service. Right. Somebody thinks that, well, we have to serve the Lord for some material reason. But this verse very conclusively establishes that even people who are completely materially transcendental, or who are independent of so many material controls, they willingly engage in the devotional service of the Lord out of their mature realization, being attracted by his transcendental qualities. This is basically a proof that devotional service is the summum bonum of life. This also proves the transcendental position of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya explained this Atmarama sloka in Jagannath Puri to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that's what convinced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Lord Chaitanya actually was not a conditioned soul, but he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because just nobody could have such a expansive and deep understanding of the verse. Similar situation happened when Digvijay, Keshav Kashmiri, was touring all over India. Wherever he went, he got people to sign. He defeated people. And this way, as a pundit, as a great learned scholar, and he was becoming more and more prominent and famous. His secret of success was that he would worship Mother Saraswati. In this way he would get so much knowledge he could defeat others. So when the Keshav Kashmiri, he had set his eyes on Navadvip, but he wanted to go and defeat all the pundits in Navadvip. So that, then he would be the most prominent pundit in the entire North India, if not the whole India. So Keshav Kashmiri offered his worship to Mother Saraswati as usual. And the pandits of Navadvip, they were very afraid of this Digvijay because he was practically undefeatable. So they came up to a plan of action and they actually asked Nimai Pandit to meet him. Because they thought Nimai Pandit is so young, yet he's such an astute pundit, that if he defeats him, well, so our glory will be enhanced so much that even one of our very young pundits could defeat him. But although Nimai Pandit was in fact the most qualified, best of all the pundits, the second thing, well, even if he were to lose, then they could possibly get another chance saying, well, he was just a boy. Now, by that time, they'd be able to figure out what's happening. So it was like a kind of a political move on their part to ask Nimai Pandit to meet Keshav Kashmiri. They didn't actually know the real transcendental position. So Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, went to the ocean, rather to the Ganges bathing. It just happened that by the will of Providence, He met with Keshav Keshmani there outside the city. So Keshav Keshmani could understand that here was the person that he was actually supposed to meet. So they started to discuss, and Lord Chaitanya, he took a humble position and said that, "I'd like to hear your poetry." He said, "I'm just a humble student of grammar, and if I can learn, you know, the poetic art from you, then this would be very nice." See, then Keshav Keshmani immediately was inspired to Ganges, so he said that he gave 100 verses glorifying the Ganges, just like, you know, just composing, you know, Sanskrit poetry, just like a machine gun, bam, 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 one after another. All of which seemed, you know, completely perfect, as would be revealed by Lord Chaitanya. That's where they belong. Hold it. Put them right. This is how they crack. You put them backwards. So right in the middle, Lord Chaitanya asked what the good and bad qualities of like the 54th verse. This has happened to me sometimes, if someone would come and say, it's an Indian. He asks for questions and he raises his hand in South India. They say, "Well, the fifth chapter, 43rd verse of the Bhagavad Gita says that, what do you have to say about that?" You know, I can't remember what the 45th verse. You know, you get a hint on which you know, they never tell you what the verse is. They just like tell you the number, and then they say some part from it. You know, then they ask you to come and you know, well, bring out the Bhagavad Gita and let's just go over it. And then it turns out that usually they misquote. They really meant the 7th chapter, 22nd verse, you know, but which really threw you off, you know. This happened to me when the guy kept saying, I said, "Are you sure you didn't know?" We read out the verses. "That's not the one, you know." Then he was like, you know, 20 numbers off. But here Lord Chaitanya, you know, he just picked out one verse at the middle, which astonished, because even though he was composing 100 verses, but it wasn't even that he could put them to memory himself. But here Lord Chaitanya had put all of the verses immediately right to memory. So he picked out anyone he could just pick out, picked it out, and then he quoted. So what are the good and bad qualities of that? Immediately he got puffed up, you know, good and bad qualities. Just if there's bad qualities in his composition. Says, "There's no bad qualities in my composition." So then Lord Chaitanya proceeded to show various errors in the composition. Double negatives, misuse of syllables, certain grammatical and metaphorical errors. Then after that, he showed the good qualities, how many similes, how many metaphors, how many, what they call syllabants, and different other type of poetic embellishments. And this way, because the Keshav Keshmani had said there's no fault in his composition, and Lord Chaitanya had picked out the fault, technically Keshav Keshmani was KO'd. in the Pandit arena. So then, Keshav Kashmiri went back to where he was staying, and he was trying to, why is it that I said there was no fault in my composition? Why did Saraswati Devi let me down like that? So he prayed to Saraswati Devi to please reveal how is it that he lost to Nimai Pandit. What offense or something had he done that she, this way his intelligence failed him? Then that night in a dream, was it in a dream or directly? I think in a dream, Saraswati Devi appeared to him and told him that that person who you think is Nimai Pandit, you should surrender to him. He's actually my husband. He's my master. He's my eternal master, Krishna. So then this way, in the next day, Keshav Kashmiri, he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya revealed his transcendental form to Keshav Kashmiri. Keshav Kashmiri became absorbed in pure devotional service. So, human intelligence has a limit. It can always fail. These big multinational corporations, they make the big computer programs. They put one recently, was put out. Then after putting it out for 2 weeks, they had to take it back. It bugs. Not the ones that crawl us. Had so many errors in it, they didn't foresee. This is the material situation, that our intelligence, no matter how developed it is, just like Hiranyakashipu, he had tried to figure everything out, but it never comes up to the intelligence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because our intelligence is just a part, a fraction of his intelligence. So the fraction can never equal the whole. So by definition, the fraction has to be less than the whole. So by definition, we are he chitkona, we're just a spark, a part of Krishna. Therefore, we can never equal the whole. But if we are in surrendered to him, if we are in complete harmony with him, then we can get that unlimited potency coming through us. But if we try to compete with Krishna, of course we'll lose. So in this material world, people are trying to compete with just Krishna's external energy, and they're getting defeated. And what to speak of those who want to directly compete with Krishna? Their situation is very precarious. You see, so the devotees, they stop this competition business against Krishna. They stop the enjoying attitude of trying to exploit the material world for their sense gratification. And rather, they use their intelligence, their faculties, their senses, everything for the service of the Lord. In this way, they become Atmarama, they become completely self-satisfied. They become completely nirgrantha, freed from all kinds of material bondages. The munis, the devotees, not those munis. This is the Sanskrit Muni, Munayo. Means to be silent means that the devotee doesn't mean that he just becomes Mona Baba. The Mona Baba in India have these Mona Babas. They take a vow they won't speak for 2, 3, 4 years, something like that. They don't speak, but then you want to talk to them, so they write. So in this way, They're still thinking so many things, but they just take a vow they won't speak. It's like, you know, there are people that are born that way. They can't speak until they... In my airport, this one man, he can't speak. He just grunts. And if he wanted to say something, he has to write it down and show you. They call him Boba. Boba. Deaf and dumb. What do they call here?
Mute.
Deaf mute. They can't speak. So to be a Mona Baba or a deaf mute by choice, it's not a very transcendental situation. So Muni doesn't mean that kind of silence, but a devotee is Muni that he only speaks about Krishna. Doesn't speak nonsense, doesn't speak materialistically, neither does he just become silent like a deaf mute. But he speaks only transcendental subject matter. So, here in the Marai Seva, just reminded how there's that verse in the Bhagavatam that Murari, he saves us, protects us from all kinds of dangers of life. That Murari's lotus feet are the boat by which we can cross over this ocean of the material world. So Prabhupada, he has given us the Murari Sevak in order that we can serve Murari's lotus feet and thus cross over the ocean of material world, crossing over all of the dangers which the material world holds out at every step. Samasrita ye pada pallava plavang mahat padang punya yaso murare bhavang buddhi vasa padang 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 yavdi padang natesham. So that same point was referred to here in the purport, as I was reminded, where Krishna, where Prabhupada said that transcendental bliss in the realization of impersonal Brahman becomes comparable to the scanty water contained in the pit made by a cow's hoof. It is nothing compared with the ocean of bliss of the vision of the personality of Godhead. So, hereby becoming a sevak or a servitor of Murari, then we can transcend the ocean of material birth and death, which is reduced just like it's a small, scanty hoof print of water. We can transcend the boring, impersonal bliss of Brahman and transcend to the unlimited transcendental qualities of Krishna, of Murari, all by taking shelter of Murari's devotional service. Now for those who don't take shelter of the lotus feet of Murari, who instead try to take shelter of their own intelligence, of this material world, they said for them, the munis, the intelligent devotees of the Lord, they never do that because they know that padang padang yadri padang, that at every step, padang padang, step by step, there's yadri padang, there's the possibility of danger. But when we take shelter of Murari, of Krishna, then we are crossed over that ocean of danger. We become fearless. Bhajahure manna srinandanandana abhaya charanara vindare. Completely fearless in devotional service. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Where?
Enjoy Bhakti Jai.